From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
In some ways, we're fortunate because we are Texas, and we've got some wonderful alums who tend to be very supportive of our program, and we've had a strong program over the years, so people, our students, have a pretty easy time getting internships and getting jobs because we have a strong reputation. But certainly, more faculty is something that we all always want, and space is a major consideration at this university, and the college is no different. There are things that we'd like to do in the School of Journalism that we're somewhat hampered by simply because we don't have the lab space that we need to do it. And we don't have room to sort of, one of the things we talked about, for example, is having a working newsroom where students would go out and cover the state capitol and the city of Austin and be able to go back and write stories and have an editor there in place who would deal with those stories. It's a great idea, and it's something that's within our ability to do, but the big question for us is, well, where would we put it? When right now the labs that we use for classrooms are full from 8 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night.
Dr. Lorraine E. Branham, Dean and Professor of Journalism at Syracuse University's S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications. Becoming dean in 2008, Branham had a focus on developing strong industry connections and emphasizing innovation and entrepreneurship in communications education and practice. As a former newspaper journalist with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and the Baltimore Sun, she knew the importance of developing the next generation of newsroom leaders. Under her leadership as dean, she supervised the development of the school's student-produced web-based news magazine, NewsHouse, and the creation of NewsHouse Sports Communication Emphasis, and was a driving force behind the establishment of Syracuse University Los Angeles Semester. Branham was also the former director of the School of Journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Branham passed away on April 2, 2019. She was 66. I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, remembering Dr. Lorraine E. Branham, journalism professional and educator in Black America.
One of my primary concerns as a woman of color is attracting more people of color into the teaching area of journalism. I think it's one of the reasons that we've had such a difficult time in the profession growing more journalists of color. And it was certainly one of the reasons that I was interested in this job, is because I really thought we needed to change the complexion of the classroom to change the complexion of the newsroom. And part of that starts with recruiting more students into graduate school. And it remains a real challenge for us. Most of the people of color who I know prefer to go into the profession. The financial rewards tend to be better in the profession, and trying to get people who are mid-career to make that career change and go back to graduate school and get the degrees that you need to go off and teach in a university can sometimes seem daunting to people, and a lot of people opt not to do it. So we continue to struggle to try to get people of color into our graduate program.
Dr. Lorraine E. Branham was truly someone special. She was a trailblazer, understanding to make a greater difference, one must leave their comfort zone. She was the first woman and first African-American to lead the Tallahassee Democrat newspaper news and editorial staffs. As she moved along her career, she thought it was more important to become a journalism educator. In 2002, after 25 years in newspapers, as an editor, editorial writer, and reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Tallahassee Democrat, Baltimore Sun, and the Philadelphia Inquirer, she entered academia. From 2002 to 2008, she was director of the School of Journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. In 2008, she was selected as dean of Syracuse University S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communication. She was the first woman and the first African-American again to hold the position. Born Lorraine Elizabeth Green on December 7, 1952 in Philadelphia. In 1976, she earned a radio, television, and film degree from Temple University. On April 2, 2019, Branham passed away after a long battle with cancer. In spring of 2005, In Black America spoke with Branham and her colleague George Sibley. The following is that conversation.
Dr. Branham, give us a little synopsis of your background.
Okay, I've been the director of the School of Journalism for 3 years now, and after spending 25 years in the newspaper industry as an editor, editorial writer, and reporter.
Okay, Dr. Sylvie?
I've been at the School of Journalism now for 12 years, three as Lorraine's associate director prior to that, and still I teach journalism classes, and I was in the newspaper business for 10 years.
Both of you all come from the professional ranks. Obviously, at some point, you all decided to move to academia. The reasons why, Dr. Sylvie?
Autonomy, interested in doing a little bit more research. Also, probably the pay was a little bit better than some, many newsrooms were paying at that time. Now, seriously, I wanted to help the next generation of journalists not make the mistakes that I was making.
Dr. Branham?
I think some of that was the same thing for me, but the other part for me as a newspaper editor, I had become increasingly concerned about some of the things I was seeing in young people coming into the industry, and I started to feel that we were never really going to be able to address some of the problems I was seeing in the newsroom until we did something in the classroom, and so I wanted to really be involved in helping to train the next generation of journalists.
When we talk about training this next generation of journalists, what are we speaking of? What actually takes place across the breezeway in CMA in that training concept?
You don't really want to know that.
He wants our secrets.
Just a little bit.
Well, several things take place, I think, and George can add to this. I mean, part of it is helping to build the basic skills you need to go out and be successful in a job. But it's also helping people understand what journalism is all about, helping to, in some ways, indoctrinate people into the culture of journalism, helping them understand the ethics, the values, the standards involved in journalism, the role that the press plays in a democracy, and how they, as journalists, become a part of what is essentially a public trust.
I would have to agree with that. Basically, there's a major transformation going on, not only from kids and pre-adults into mature thinking adults, but also into a vocation of sorts, sort of like a seminary. It's like I like to describe it in class. They, not only, as Lorraine says, they get to become the high priest of the media, so to speak, but they also understand what their responsibilities are to society, and what we do is much more than a job.
I guess it's a twofold question, personal on one side, but the bigger concept is, how does one know he or she wants to become a journalist? I know you don't wake up one morning and say, I want to be a journalist. Are there avenues in which one takes from elementary, junior high, high school, and eventually arrive here at UT?
I think everybody is probably different. I remember
in my own
case, you know, I knew that I wanted to make a difference.
Okay.
To change the world, to somehow, you know, right wrongs. And I initially thought maybe I'd be a social worker or then a civil rights lawyer. And then I began to understand what journalists did, and I thought, that's the career for me. This is something that I can do where I can actually go out and help the public better understand what's happening, help people make good decisions about their elected officials and public policy, expose wrongs. And basically, I mean, I think there's a bit of a do-gooder mentality in people who want to become journalists.
Dr. Sylvie?
Also, I was raised, and I'm sure both of you were, in a very religious household where, you know, the church and things that the church valued were very important. So I was in church most of my young adult life. So I learned a lot about right and wrong and what was wrong with society and what needed to be improved. And journalism just seemed to be the most natural avenue, that and not being able to pass physics as a college major.
My problem was trigonometry. One of the things that disturbs me a little bit about some of the students I see coming into journalism today is that some of that passion for wanting to change the world and do public service is not there. Mm-hmm. People want to be on TV. People want to be celebrities. I hear a lot of students say they like to write. But then when they find out that this is not just writing, you also have to go out and report, you have to interview people, you have to work long hours, then, you know, it doesn't seem as attractive to them. So I think you really do have to have some passion for public service.
We'll be back with more In Black America after this message. Now, on with our conversation.
In the students in which you all are training and arrive here on campus, are they equipped with the basic rudimentary skills, the writing, the grammar of becoming reporters? Are you seeing them prepared to do college level work once they arrive here on campus?
We're sorry you asked that.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Yes.
It just depends. We're all living in the same environment here in Texas. We depend a lot on the public school system of Texas in general. And most of our students, I would say, have the potential.
Okay.
At the same time, that potential has to be molded. And, think basics like grammar, spelling, punctuation, inquisitiveness, curiosity. They come with that, but it also has to be directed.
When one arrives here, I assume the first year is basic general education, general college education, your math, your science, your foreign language, and then in the latter part of your sophomore and your junior, you actually get into what your major is going to be, the print, broadcast, RTF, or what have you. Once that period takes place, what are some of the courses in which the students will be exposed to?
Well, our freshmen can take an entry-level journalism course called Critical Issues in Journalism, which is the first course that you have to take. It's required for majors, but a lot of non-majors take it as well. And this is a lecture class that sort of looks at the major issues in journalism and is an introduction to the profession. The next course they take is a skills-based course. It's the foundation course for admission into the sequence, and it focuses on news writing and starting to develop some of those basic writing skills.
Dr. Sibley, what are some of the courses that you teach?
Well, I teach one of our introductory reporting courses, which is it's actually required of all majors. We teach in their basic information gathering skills, interviewing, questioning, searching for information, access to sources, the basic skills that they'll need in every sequence, whether it be broadcast, photo, what have you. And I've been teaching that now for the last 3 or 4 years. I also teach a media management course, which is an elective, but is also sort of like an extension of reporting in the sense of they're learning what the acculturation process is in media organizations. But I wanted to also add with Lorraine, what Lorraine said was once they take those two introductory courses, they then go into their various areas, but they do have courses that you know, because they're electives and because, you know, we're contained for the most part in one building, that they do get to intermingle with other students. But their basic skills areas, reporting, the technology of broadcasting, for example, but also the societal things of mass media law and ethics. So we try to give them a very well-rounded education as much as we can within the structure that we have as an accredited journalism school.
And just to follow up on that, because we are an accredited program, we are required that our students take a certain number of liberal arts courses. And we think that's important for people who want to become journalists to have a broad liberal education, to understand political science and history and, you know, international affairs. So although there's a focus on the skills classes, that's actually just a small part of their journalism education.
With the advent of tabloid, quote-unquote, television, how has the line been screwed to a certain extent of what real journalism is and what entertainment tabloid journalism is, and how does that affect the way you all go about teaching it?
Well, neither one of us are broadcasters, so we really can't really address that specifically. But
they have the National Enquirer, the newspaper.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We have our own examples in print media. Well, I belong now, I'm pretty sure Lorraine belongs to this national group called the Committee for Concerned Journalists, which deal with with that issue as one of their main central tenets of their mission, which is to restore credibility and respect in large part to our media. And one of the reasons we do that is the students need to learn that not only are they journalists and they have this vocation or this mission, but they also, their first loyalty is to the audience, but that doesn't mean you always cater to what the audience wants. Okay. And we have to sort of walk a fine line because obviously these, the National Enquirer and Entertainment Tonight and programs such as these are everywhere, and people, sometimes that's the first thing they think about when they think of journalism, but of course they learn differently once they get into our classes.
Is ethics an important subject in which you all try to express to the students?
Oh, more so than ever, and definitely, particularly in light of some of the ethical problems that and credibility issues that journalism has been facing in the last few years. We teach a course in media law and ethics, but what we've decided as a faculty is that it's not just enough to teach ethics in a course. We're really focused now on trying to teach ethics across the curriculum mm-hmm. and make the teaching of ethics a part of every journalism course that we teach.
What are some of the pitfalls, and this particularly being the director of the school, that you face in trying to present a first-class program here at UT? Is it probably money?
Money.
Space.
Space.
Everyone's competing for the best faculty.
And the best students.
And the best students.
And the best students. So, yes, all of those problems are challenges for us. In some ways, we're fortunate because we are Texas, mm-hmm. and we've got some wonderful alums who tend to be very supportive of our program, and we've had a strong program over the years, so people, our students have a pretty easy time getting internships and getting jobs because we have a strong reputation. But certainly, more faculty is something that we all always want, and space is a major consideration at this university, and the college is no different. There are things that we'd like to do in the School of Journalism that we're somewhat hampered by simply because we don't have the lab space that we need to do it, and we don't have room to sort of, one of the things we talked about, for example, is having a working newsroom mm-hmm. where students would go out and cover the state capitol and the city of Austin and be able to go back and write stories and have an editor there in place who would deal with those stories. It's a great idea, and it's something that's within our ability to do, but the big question for us is, well, where would we put it when right now the labs that we use for classrooms are full from 8 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night?
Go ahead.
And if I could add just one thing, of course, I agree with everything Lorraine has said. However, I also would like to point out to the public that people say the School of Journalism, they think of this great big monolith that thinks the same way and acts as one, when in fact we have several constituencies, if you will, that encompasses. Not only is the faculty key, but there are 20 some odd different faculty members. Mm-hmm. You're talking about 600 to 700 students, the media of Texas, the media of the country, alumni, the administration. You've got all those audiences or constituencies looking for you to do certain things. And then you've got the nature of the news business itself, which mm-hmm. is in flux constantly. Mm-hmm. And trying to get all those things to work on the same page, as I've learned under Lorraine, is not very easy at all.
I understand. How important, because you mentioned this in your mission statement and also on the website, of having faculty that have been there and done that. Does that lend a little bit more credibility to the coursework and to the instructors who are actually teaching these individuals to become future journalists?
Well, we think so.
And, oh, definitely.
And I think our students definitely think so.
And the students tell us.
Yes.
So.
And I think almost all of our faculty have some professional experience. Some have a lot of professional experience, mm-hmm. but most of them have been in the profession before becoming professors. And it's something that we look for when we go out to hire people. So having professional experience is key. And one of the things we've been trying to do in the last 4 years is to bring even more professionals into our program and to strengthen our professional orientation.
How important are these student organizations of professional organizations that it augment you all's particular work in the college?
Extremely important. Without such groups as the Society of Professional Journalists or the National Association of Black Journalists or the National Association of Hispanic journalists, et cetera, all the acronyms I'm sure you're aware of. That just makes our job that much easier, having them around and having them interested in the students, because, again, as Lorraine talked about earlier, it's the acculturation process of learning to be what a journalist is and how a journalist acts, which sometimes you cannot teach in the classroom all the time. That, the networking, the job contacts. Students get so much from student organizations and professional organizations, and I just can't say enough. The scholarships, the internship opportunities. Mm-hmm. Without those professionals out there, our job would be that much harder.
We encourage all of our students to do two things: to get involved with student media and to join one of the student chapters of the professional organizations.
This is a probably a hard question for you all to answer. Why would a student attend the University of Texas School of Journalism over some other school?
I want to say it depends, but actually it doesn't. If you're growing up in the state of Texas and you want to learn about Texas journalism and journalism in general, there is no place you should go other than the University of Texas at Austin, because we have the facilities, the faculty, the opportunities in a city like Austin. The size of the campus, although that's sometimes an attraction, mm-hmm. really works in our favor from that respect. And the faculty here and the students who work on the publications and do the work in the labs are all very passionate about what constitutes quality journalism. And I don't think you can find more devoted people anywhere.
Dr. Brandon?
I agree. I think George has said it all. I mean, it is a great program. It's considered one of the top programs in the country. And as he said, depending upon where you live, if you're growing up in Texas and you want to be a journalist, this is the place to come. For an out-of-state student, you may have other choices, but there's the attraction of coming to Austin and the opportunity to come and work with some of the best people in the business. So.
At the top of the program, we talk about training individuals to work as practitioners. What about the other side of the coin of training individuals to become a Dr. Branham or a Dr. Silvey? Because I'm quite sure we need people of color to be in the classroom.
That's a constant concern for us as well. The graduate or the research area or the scholarly area, if you will, of our program, I hate to keep sounding like we're bragging, but we're one of a very well nationally known program in the terms of research, and our scholars in communication do great amounts of research, but it's not really just the amount, it's the kind of research they do. We've got Max McComb, Steve Reese, people of that nature who are nationally and internationally known. So we have a program that is in place to take care of those needs, but at the same time, it's undergoing transition as well because of generational changes and mm-hmm. changes in the field.
Dr. Brandon.
One of my primary concerns as a woman of color is attracting more people of color into the teaching area of journalism. I think it's one of the reasons that we've had such a difficult time in the profession growing more journalists of color. And it was certainly one of the reasons that I was interested in this job, is because I really thought we needed to change the complexion of the classroom, to change the complexion of the newsroom. And part of that starts with recruiting more students into graduate school. And it remains a real challenge for us. Most of the people of color who I know prefer to go into the profession. The financial rewards tend to be better in the profession, and trying to get people who are mid-career to make that career change and go back to graduate school and get the degrees that you need to go off and teach in a university can sometimes seem daunting to people, and a lot of people opt not to do it. So we continue to struggle to try to get people of color into our graduate program.
You had mentioned before in a conversation we had, and also in a presentation a couple of weeks ago, about moving into management. Are we putting that idea in young students' minds as they matriculate through college that at some point, in order for the news to be diversified and we are on the inside making decisions on what people will see, hear, and read, at some point one has to step up? and become a manager.
That's what Dr. Silvey does.
That's what I teach. Hey, media management is called. Seriously, not only are we doing that in that class, obviously, we talk about that in our reporting classes and other classes. Mm-hmm. The University of Texas, not just because it has a great journalism school, but because it is the University of Texas, provides for many of our young Texans their first diverse experience.
Okay.
And they are sort of hit over the head with the word diversity so often that sometimes when you mention that word, their eyes glaze over in class, not because they're prejudiced or anything, but it's because it's so drilled. Mm-hmm. So yes, that idea is definitely emphasized. But we have our students are also required to take culture and communication classes where they understand that there's a greater societal responsibility to reflect society. And one of the ways we do that is not just changing the color of the people in the newsroom, but also changing some of the ideas and notions they have about people of color and what constitutes news about people of color.
When I first started doing this back in the good old days, everything was done on analog recording tape. Now we have all this digital technology. How has the technology changed the way you all go about training young journalists?
Well, I guess part of it is just the analogy that you use. The equipment has changed.
Okay.
But I think it has also made it easier, and it's one of the things that I think the profession is grappling with now, is this whole idea, who is a journalist? And how does one become a journalist? Because it's very easy for anybody with a camera, a tape recorder, or a computer to sit down and start doing work that one could call journalism. But whether or not that person has the necessary credentials, whether or not there's a bona fide news organization behind that person, whether or not they understand the standards and values that go into creating journalism, remains to be seen. But I think that has become one of the challenges for the profession, defining who is and who is not a journalist, and also helping students understand that all of this wonderful technology that we have out here that helps us bring information to people faster also has its challenges. The whole 24-hour news cycle in which people just put up information and not always have the time to verify that information is a challenge that journalists have to deal with. The ability to change photographs digitally so that, the picture that used to be worth 1,000 words could be worth 2,000 words, or actually as many as you want, depending upon how you choose to change it or alter the figure. So, I mean, there are new responsibilities and concerns that come with this technology that we need to start emphasizing in the classroom.
Dr. Lorraine Branham, Dean and Professor of Journalism at Syracuse University's S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications and former Director of the School of Journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Branham died April 2, 2019. She was 66. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.